Let's pray before we get started this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming. We praise you that you are the King, that we will all bow before. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we long for that day when you do return, and we will be with you for all eternity. Fill us all with that confident anticipation, that great hope. And as we come to this part of our service, Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see your word clearly? Give us the mind to understand, the will to apply, so that we would honor you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you haven't already, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 23. Charles Spurgeon, referred to Psalm chapter 23 as the pearl of the Psalms. Psalm 23 is a description of David's experience with God, his personal experience, and I believe that it describes the personal experience of with God that every single one of us crave. If we are His, then the experience that is found here in this passage, we need to recognize that that's what God promises for us to experience, exactly what we read here. If ever there was a psalm that can be summed up in one verse, it is Psalm 23:1. In Psalm chapter 23:1, we get the theme for the entire passage. Everything we get after verse 1 flows from that one verse. And so we're going to look at it verse by verse. We're not going to read it. We read it together at the very beginning of the service. So let's look at it together. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now there are a lot of descriptions of God in the book of Psalms. He's seen as the king. He's seen as a fortress, a rock. He's seen as a judge. He's seen as a warrior. But there's something special about this image of God being a shepherd. The God who shepherds his sheep. There's a sense of tenderness and intimacy and nearness and care that is packed into that description of God being a shepherd. And there are two words that are significant in this passage. The shepherd is the Lord. Now, the word Lord is in all caps because it is the word Yahweh that is actually being translated there. This is the same one who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. He is I am that I am. He is completely self-sufficient. He is timeless. He is inexhaustible. He is the one who needs nothing. He is the one who holds all power. He is the one who never changes. He is the one who gives good gifts. He is the creator, the sustainer of all things. He is not accountable to anyone. He is the one who is to be worshipped by all of creation. That one is my shepherd. Now, a shepherd was considered a low-class worker in David's day. It was typically the job of the youngest son. David himself was a shepherd, and so David knew it was an unpleasant job, a hard job, and it required a humble person to do the job of a shepherd. And when we think about that, it's almost unbelievable that the infinite God would assume the role as a shepherd for his people. The great God of the universe, the maker of all things, he takes care of you and he takes care of me. The Lord is my shepherd. And we need to be sure that when we approach the Old Testament, and I've mentioned this a couple of times already as we've gone through this series in this series Summer in the Psalms, that when we approach the Old Testament, we need to read the Old Testament through the lens of the gospel. And when we do that, we begin to see that the Psalms begin to open up completely. The Psalms become even more precious to us because we can read a verse like, "The Lord is my shepherd," and when we read it through the lens of the gospel, what we're really saying is, "The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd." And the reason that we can say that is that Jesus himself, he took this image of a shepherd and he applied it to himself. And he taught us that it is only through him that we can truly know God. David looked forward and he trusted in a promise that was made. We get to look back at this psalm as a promise that's been fulfilled. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. In John chapter 10, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus is the Lord. And because that's true, he is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And what he says in John chapter 10 is that everything that's been promised in Psalm 23 will come true in him. Jesus is the one who will keep us safe. He's the one that will keep us secure. He's the one that will guide us and protect us. He will lead us to eternal life. He already said in the passage in John chapter 10, right before that in John chapter 10, verse 11, he already told us. He said, "This is what it's going to cost me to purchase my sheep." John chapter 10, verse 11, beginning there, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." That is the gospel lens that we must read Psalm 23 through. What made us his sheep is that Jesus laid down his life and took it up again. Listen, if our shepherd was willing to do that for his sheep, then surely he will provide for us green pastures. Surely he will give us drink from refreshing waters and keep us on the path of righteousness and keep us safe in the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of darkness. And surely he will pour out goodness and mercy and bring us to himself to be with him forever. He's already done the hardest part. He laid down his life and took it up again. All the promises that we read about in Psalm 23 flow to us through the gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But there's another word that we can't run past. I don't want us to miss it. Don't miss the word, "my." Jesus is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. He is my shepherd. He died for me. He bought me. He cares for me. He protects me. He guides me. He watches over me. Charles Spurgeon, he said about that one particular point, that Jesus is my shepherd, he says this. He says, "Whatever be the believer's position," in other words, no matter how you feel, "whatever be the believer's position of Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd." Excuse me. Now notice the second phrase in verse 1. "I shall not want." It may sound a little awkward. I shall not want. In Hebrew, it literally means I shall not have a sense of lacking anything. So we could translate it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. We all have experienced, no doubt, all of us have experienced lack, or to be in wanting. To lack, whether it's some financial or something, wisdom, whatever it is, we have all lacked in our lives. And left to experience, that's all it will ever be. Just lack or wanting. It's not flattering for us to be called sheep, first of all. Sheep weren't the smartest animals. They're not the smartest animals in the world. They're dumb animals. They're foolish animals. They're helpless animals. They need to be protected. They need to be provided for. They need guidance in order to survive. So it is very good news that we needy sheep have been purchased by our good shepherd. We belong to him, and he promises that we will never lack what he knows what is good for his sheep. And I believe David's point here is that because we have God as our shepherd, we have everything that we need. Jesus is my shepherd. I will not lack anything. No matter the circumstance that you find yourself in this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a sheep of the shepherd, the good shepherd, you can look at your life and know that you have everything you need. And David spends the rest of the psalm telling us what we do not lack. He unpacks that phrase, I shall not want. And so that will make up the rest of our outline. Because Jesus is my shepherd, I will not lack six things. I will not lack rest, verse 2. I will not lack restoration in verse 3. I will not lack guidance in verse 3. I will not lack safety in verse 4. I will not lack abundance in verse 5 and 6. And I will not lack a future. The end of verse 6. So let's look at those. Number one, first, I will not lack rest. Because Jesus is my shepherd, I will not lack rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He gives us rest, and he carefully and tenderly watches over us. I think he begins here because this is where the Christian life begins. It begins with rest. We become sheep of the good shepherd when we rest in Christ alone, by faith alone. Jesus is the one in whom we find rest. He's the one that where we find our nourishment, where we find our satisfaction. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. We find our satisfaction. We find our rest in Christ alone. He is the green pasture. He's the still water, and we find rest in him. Now, we look forward to a perfect rest in eternity, but Christ, he must be our rest even now. We don't wait for eternity to find our rest. I mean, ultimately, that's where it's going to come. That's where it's ultimately going to be fulfilled. But we have to find our rest now. We rest in him no matter what, no matter how dark the valley, no matter what we're going through, because he is with us. He's the one that's leading us in green pastures and beside still waters. We find rest in him. We will never lack rest because all we need we find in Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is my shepherd, and I will not lack rest. Next, Because Jesus is my shepherd, I will not lack restoration. It says, he restores my soul. The idea here is that the Lord restores our health, our spiritual health. He's restoring us. If you think about sheep, sheep need to be restored. They need to be taken care of. We need revival. At least a couple of us think we need revival. We are weak at times, and so we need to be nurtured. We need to be brought back to strength. Sometimes we find ourselves flat on our back spiritually. We can't find firm footing no matter what we do. It just seems like nothing can go right for us spiritually. And just we seem dry. We don't feel like the Lord is even hearing anything that we've got to say. So we need him to restore us. He promises, the shepherd promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us just flat on our back. He will come and restore us every single time. He will lift us out of this dangerous position that we find ourselves in. He doesn't just abandon us to that. He comes and he helps us when we feel helpless. And we cry out to him, recognizing the fact that he's the only one that can help us. That's what he promises to do. Because he's our shepherd. And because he's our shepherd, we will not lack restoration. Next, because Jesus is our shepherd, I'm not going to lack guidance. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, that is really good news. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray." All of us, without exception, Paul says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. So what do we need? Because we have gone astray, because we have sinned, because we've missed God's mark of perfection, we need our shepherd to lead us and to guide us. We need specifically for him to lead us, as it says, to lead us in paths of righteousness. We need him to lead us in the way we ought to go. And that's exactly what he promises to do. How does he do that? A couple of different ways that he does that. Number one, through his word. He guides us through his word. That's what Psalm 119, 105 tells us. The word is what? A lamp to our feet and a light to my path. The Bible is meant to help guide us, to lead us down paths of righteousness. It sustains us, it feeds us, it gives us life when we're in the Word. But he doesn't just give us the Word to lead us, he also gives us the Spirit that indwells us. So we have the Word on the outside that we read, that Bible intake that we come to daily. But we also have the Word that he's given to every believer that inspired that Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Or we could say all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sheep of God. We have God's Word and we have God's Spirit, that transforming power within us, to give us the guidance that we need. He's committed himself not to let us wander. Now notice, don't just read through that verse and think, okay, let's go on to verse 4. But notice, why does he do it? He leads me in paths of righteousness. There's not a period there. He tells us why he does it. For his namesake. It's his name that's on the line. His reputation that's on the line. And so he leads us for his sake. He's going to give us the guidance that we need as we depend on his word and depend on his Spirit. His reputation depends on it. Not yours, not mine, not the church's. His name, his reputation. Because he is our shepherd, we're not going to lack guidance. Because he's in it for his sake, for his glory, for his reputation, for his name's sake. Verse 4, because Jesus is my shepherd, I will not lack safety. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Did you notice the change in the language? It doesn't say he, it now says you. So there was a change in language. David's moved from talking about God to talking to God. No longer does he say, he leads me. Now it's, you are with me. So he stops talking about God and he begins to talk to God when he enters this valley, this dark valley of life. See, what we know to be true about God becomes our personal experience with him when life gets tough. That's what I believe David is teaching us when he, just very simple change of words. So don't wait to get to know God. Get to know him now. Don't wait until life gets hard, life gets difficult. Get to know him now while you're in the green pastures. Then what you know about him is going to become your experience when everything goes dark, when everything gets cold, everything gets difficult. And when that happens, we need to trust that he is there. Because oftentimes it feels like we're all alone. So it's so important that now as we're in green pastures that we're getting to know him and we're reminding ourselves that he is always with me. He's always leading me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And when we get in that valley, we're reminded that he's still there. So what we know about him becomes our experience. David, it seems that he's entered a bad place. But he doesn't fear. Why does he not fear? Because he's absolutely assured that he's not alone. That God's with him. You are with me. I mean, those are reassuring words when the lights go out and everything just goes dark. Everything gets difficult. You are with me. I mean, it may be so dark that you can't even see him. It may be so chaotic that you can't even hear him. But he is with me. I don't know, maybe this morning you find yourself there now. You can't see him. But your shepherd is there. He leads us through the valley because there's something better on the other side. And notice that he doesn't drop us off there and leave us. He said he leads us through the valley. That dark place, the shadow, that's not the destination. The destination is on the other side of it, which means that he's taking you from somewhere to somewhere that's better. So he's leading you through the valley. And even in the valley, we will not lack rest. We will not lack restoration. We will not lack guidance. Our shepherd giving us what we need to make it through the valley. And he's going to protect us. We're never alone. We're safe because our shepherd is with us. And because of that, verse 5, we will not lack abundance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That image, it changes again in verse 5. In verse 5, the good shepherd becomes our host. So there, he's throwing a banquet. He's throwing this party. He's inviting, the shepherd's inviting his sheep into his house, and he sets the table for him. He's got this food, this party waiting on him. And in David's day, sharing a meal, it meant something. It indicated that there was a bond between the guest and the host. The shepherd host loves his guest. He pours oil on their heads. He fills their cup with wine until it overflows. That's an image of joy and abundance, prosperity. He follows his guest around with goodness and mercy. Now, that word follows doesn't mean he's just, you know, trailing around behind us. It literally means that he is pursuing us. He is pursuing you with goodness and mercies. He's hunting you down with goodness and mercy. Just before Jesus announced himself as the good shepherd, that passage I read earlier in John chapter 10, in verse 11, he said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That doesn't mean like in eternity. That means here and now he wants us to experience the abundant life. One day we will experience it in its fullness. But now we can experience it the way he wants us in an abundance. He pursues us with goodness and mercy. And that leads to our last point. I will not lack a future. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He took his life up again. And he left. But why did he leave? Why did he die, rise again, and then leave? Well, he tells us in John chapter 14, he says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So he didn't just abandon us. He didn't just take off and he went to prepare a place. You might be sitting here this morning, you have no idea what tomorrow holds. But you can look beyond tomorrow and know that for certain, that the shepherd is leading his sheep home. He has a destination that he's leading us to. We're passing through this world and we're heading to a place that he has gone to prepare for us. And he wants us there with him. He's waiting on us there. So we can be assured that he will get us there. Remember, we're in his hands, and he says, who the Father has given me, I will not lose any. And so he will not lose us along the way. He will get us there. His Holy Spirit will empower us and enable us to do that which he's called us to do. The best thing about all of that is what awaits us when we get there. It's not, well, we get to see golden streets, and we get to see these mansions, we get to see. No, the Lord himself is the reward. That's what we're longing for. Jesus is the David talks about being in the house of the Lord. And ultimately, he's talking about being with Jesus. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, David writes this. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." That's the reward. We're not looking for something else. He pursues us with goodness and mercy. And as chapter 23, verse 6 says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The best thing in the house of the Lord is the Lord Jesus himself. And so this whole psalm leads us to the person of Jesus, the one who is our rest, the one who is our restoration, the one who is our God, the one who is our righteousness, the one who is with us, the one who gives us joy and goodness, the one who pursues us with goodness and mercy itself. He is our shepherd host, and he is ours. Jesus is my shepherd. And so we will never lack. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is